Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Travis Croydon, and you're about to get the inside scoop on all the hottest stories in Hollywood. Well, if I'm Diana, then I'm surrounded by two amazing Supremes. Supreme beauty and fashion mogul, Gwen Flamberg.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
And Supreme Bachelor Nation expert, Sarah Huron.
Another big week for Bachelor Nation. Can't wait to talk about it, Travis.
Oh, I don't know what you could possibly be referencing, but actually I do, because today we're going to get into a royal funeral, an A-list breakup we all saw coming, a gay bachelor, hey Colton, a super sweet 16 star back in the spotlight, a pop star addresses her mental health issues, a male pop star who is sad no one likes him, and much, much more. But first, let us get into our woes of the week. These are not sad grievances we have with the world, but these are stories that made us laugh, chuckle, or go, whoa. So let's kick it off. Sarah Huron, what made you go, whoa, this week?
My woe, I mean, so many things that you mentioned, Travis, but of course, it's my job, my obligation, my duty, my honor, my privilege to keep everyone updated on Olivia Jade. And as we know, her parents are both home. The college cheating scandal, she hopes this thing of the past, and we have our first sign. As you know, she's been back on YouTube, but now a woe, a shock, her first sponsored video. She posted a video. She's got a promo code. She's got Spawn all over it. She's glowing in the video, you guys, like more so than she's been glowing ever since. She is pumped to be back on, and it just goes to show the YouTube community will rip you apart, but also totally give you your platform back no matter what happens. So something exciting for everyone that you can go use Olivia Jade's promo code for some clothing store.
And what clothing store in it? Who was brave enough to sponsor our little American princess?
I believe it's White Fox.
Oh, yeah, great. Glad. But you're right. We really, especially on YouTube, we tear Fox people down, and then they're like, all right, you're back. You're good. Tell us stuff.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to still flood your comments with things like to ask you about like rowing practice. And like, that's fine, because we're going to use your promo code too. So it's like a love-hate relationship I feel like YouTubers have with their subscribers, especially post-scandal. But you know, so you guys don't have to watch, I will keep doing it for you. It's just my job.
Great. Well, I can't wait to see your 20% off White Fox looks that you get very, very soon.
I think it's only 10%, but thank you.
Oh, rough promo code, Olivia J. Gwen Flamberg, what made you go, whoa, this week?
I went whoa this week, Travis, over someone who I'm not sure I've talked about much on this podcast, but she's my spirit animal. It is the supermodel Paulina Porizkova. She is on the May cover of Vogue Czechoslovakia, full frontal nude, wearing a sheer black bodysuit. And what makes it so amazing is that it is exactly 40 years since her first Vogue cover, and her body is perfection. Paulina has been really outspoken about ageism in the modeling industry, in the beauty community, and you know,
wow,
the girl still got it. She just looks absolutely incredible. And the picture that 40 years, she's 56. The photo that she posted, she very artfully placed little swan emojis over her nipples. I like that too.
Good, it's
very
nipple chic, cover.
Very cute.
Good nipple, yes, cover. Well, my woe of the week, you know, was fantastic. It really made me chuckle. Did you guys hear about Usher possibly using Usher Bucks, fake money, to tip strippers at a Vegas strip club? Well, if you didn't, I'm going to tell you
about
it.
Right.
Yeah, well, when the first story came out, one of the dancers there who goes by like Bomb Zero Lovely Bubbly is her Instagram pretty much. And she posted some $100 bills that did not have Ben Franklin on them, but had Usher on them. And they were Usher bucks, sort of like the old Disney dollars, I guess. I'm not sure what you can buy with Disney bucks, but she made it seem that he tipped strippers all night in this fake money. And then these girls who were working the pole hard all night were like, we can't spend this anywhere. But it turns out he was leaving them as a promo for his Las Vegas residency. So they were just like a little extra tip. And sources at the club told TMZ that he did spend real American dollars on them. So they did not walk home with anything, which is a little less of a fun story, but got to give props to Usher. We're all talking about it.
I mean, yeah, we're all talking about it. But we're also like, if you don't look into the story, you're reading the headlines and just think Usher is really cheap and weird. So I don't know if it totally worked, but we are talking about Usher.
No, you're right. I think a lot of people will not see the follow-ups and just see Usher paid ladies in fake Usher bucks and just think he is a dick for all time. Well, speaking of known as dicks for all time, let's get into our first story. It's a rough one, but not at all shocking. J-Lo, the woman I claim to be the most beautiful woman in the world, has ended her 2-year engagement to Alex Rodriguez, who others claim to be a great baseball player. After a month of are they or aren't they both released a statement to the Today Show saying, quote, "We have realized we are better as friends and look forward to remaining so. We will continue to work together and support each other on our shared businesses and projects. We wish the best for each other and one another's children. Out of respect for them, the only comment we have to say is thank you to everyone who has sent kind words and support." So this is obviously after the Madison LaCroix from Southern Charm FaceTiming drama. Why is he FaceTiming with this young woman who has very few business prospects that could be interested in him? Sarah Huron, tell me about why you weren't shocked when you read this news.
I mean, of course, by the way, this like happened like after everything this week. I was like, oh, it's going to be a slow day. And it's like, oh no, 8 a.m. Today Show statement. Interesting choice. The day after A-Rod posted this like weird shrine to J-Lo on his Instagram story. The cold place fix you, like he's going through it. But I think that this just goes to show and prove everything we thought that was happening, which was like when the narrative got out last month that they were broken up, they didn't like that the narrative was about Madison because it was so close to the Southern Charm thing, which whether it was the total factor or not, that was embarrassing to J-Lo, whether she knows he Instagrams other people, like that's very embarrassing. I feel like to be dragged on this reality TV show with your fiance's name being like bleeped out, but then she's on Page Six, like detailing their FaceTime calls. So I think that it does have everything to do with Madison and probably maybe someone else. I don't know, allegedly could be talking to other people, who knows. But I think that they tried to take back the narrative and say they were just on a break and then like pack on the PDA, whatever, save face, because they didn't want this to be the breakup narrative. But I think it's really been over this whole time and it was like a failed ditch effort to make it work.
Oh, God. And Gwen, tell us about, you know, the signs that we saw even this week leading up to this breakup.
Totally. Starting about 4 days ago, J-Lo was spotted without her ring and she continued to post and no ring. I mean, she was definitely, I think, leaving a couple of Easter eggs for us to, you know, listen, I never thought that these two were actually really going to make it. I felt like when everything exploded after, you know, that emotional cheater A-Rod was found to have slid into the DMs of the Southern Charm chick, you know, I think that J-Lo had to try to work it out so that she could end the relationship on her terms. Because you guys, she's J-Lo. So that day has come. That day has come and it's now. And the ring has been off for a few days and we knew it was coming.
Yeah, I wonder if the statement really is true and they're going to continue to work on all of their business ventures together. I mean, J-Lo is such like a boss ass lady and A-Rod is about his money too. So they really could continue to work together with their businesses. But I honestly can't think of anything more awkward.
I think they must have things that are like tied up though. Like they probably have things they've invested in and products and stuff because they were like very, I mean, the J-Rod brand was pretty strong. It's kind of like Kimye.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, really strong. But again, we saw this coming, and J-Lo has been posting a lot of like, thank you for the J-Lo lovers out there. Here's me looking hot posts. And I feel like that is also always a breadcrumb to a relationship when you're sort of like, you know, thirsting for fan interaction. You're like, here's me looking hot. Please, everyone tell me they love me. I need this now. Well, J-Lo, we love you. And if you need this, we support you. Glad you're out of that relationship.
How pissed are A-Rod's girls being like, you ruined J-Lo being our stepmom dad?
Oh my God. They were such huge fans of her.
I mean how would it be not?
Oh my God. Yeah, that is going to be rough growing up when they turn into like their real teen years and start asking about that. They're like, you lost our idol. How dare you?
But I bet you that J-Lo will remain in their lives. I bet she will, because she's J-Lo and she's very giving of herself.
So let's hope for the best for these two, you know, especially for J-Lo, because usually we take the woman's side, and especially this time. The next one is for all the royal files out there, Anglophiles. This is such tragic news. The passing of Queen Elizabeth's husband, Prince Philip, last Friday, just short of his 100th birthday. His grandchildren, Harry and William, both released really cute statements. They both praised Philip's lifetime of service to the United Kingdom and his wife, Queen Elizabeth. William said his grandfather would want the royal family to, quote, get on with the job. And Harry remembered Philip as my grandpa, master of the barbecue, legend of banter, and cheeky right until the end. He was authentically himself with a seriously sharp wit and could hold the attention of any room due to his charm, because you never know what he might say next. Meghan, Archie, and I, as well as your future great-granddaughter, will always hold a special place for you in our hearts, added Harry, who is in the UK right now for the funeral. I mean, it's really, really sad. He was an icon to so many, 100 years old, not that surprising. Do you guys have any thoughts, things to add on this story?
You know, I was really, really sad when I heard about Prince Philip dying, Travis, because I just wanted him to make it two more months to his 100th birthday. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he lived an incredibly long life. And interestingly, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, he's not going to be able to have a big state funeral. But apparently, insiders say that's not what Philip would have wanted anyway. So it's going to be a really intimate service at Windsor Castle in St. George's Chapel. And there'll only be 30 royals in attendance. Harry and William will both be there. It was just confirmed today that all four of the children and eight grandchildren will be there. His casket is going to be carried in a Land Rover that he designed, you know, because Philip was very, very into design and technology. As we know, you know, Philip was in the Royal Navy, wanted to be an airman. We've all watched The Crown. We've got those details. I think what, you know, eyes will really be on William and Harry, and sources tell us that they are going to get on. They are going to, you know, do their best to really come together during this time. I kind of think it's going to be really interesting to kind of vibe just them being at St. George's Chapel where Harry and Meghan got married. You know, Meghan obviously is like heavily pregnant, so couldn't travel. But, you know, if she wasn't heavily pregnant, I do wonder if she would have been there at this time.
Good question, Gwen. But this just in, you guys, William and Harry will not be walking next to each other. The palace confirmed in a statement. They released a statement about this. This is insane because they know all eyes are on Will and Harry, just like you said. But this is a wild. So it says William and Harry will both join their family members in walking behind their grandfather's coffin. But their cousin, Peter Phillips, the son of Prince Anne, is said to walk between them. The procession order was, quote, a practical change rather than sending a signal. The Buckingham Palace spokesperson says, this is a funeral and we are not going to be drawn into the perceptions of drama. The arrangements have been agreed and represent Her Majesty's wishes. That brings drama in itself.
Oh no, it's total drama. But I will point out that, you know, apparently, as per again The Crown, Princess Anne was Prince Philip's favorite child. So fitting that his child, who is named for Philip, her child, who is named for Philip, is going to be the icebreaker there, huh?
But telling us you're not sending a signal means you're sending a signal.
Yeah, actually, exactly. Dustin,
this is not like a tiny puddle jumper plane where they figure out how much weight is on each side. You know, this was made because there are rough relations between the brothers. And honestly, thank you to Buckingham Palace for, you know, doing a little bit of the work for us and saying we had to separate these two boys.
I know, because if they didn't say this on the record, it might have been speculation why they weren't next to each other and stuff. But this, like, I almost feel like makes it more dramatic than it would have been if we just watched it as planned.
Yeah, it's well, really...
They're trying to get ahead of the story and control the narrative, as the firm does.
Yeah, the firm needs to take some lessons that, you know, if you point attention to it, we are going to be even more fixated at this change. God, drama. I can't wait to see on the Saturday. We are going to have our body language expert all lined up to figure out what Harry and William are saying to each other with their elbows to their knees and their toes.
And their masks on.
And their masks.
Their masks on.
Meghan Markle is at home cursing, being like, this is the statement you can release.
This is the one.
Totally. Now, did they say anything in the statement about the military uniforms? Because sources say that Prince Andrew and Prince Harry both would like to wear their military uniforms, but because they're retired service members, it's not appropriate and they're not allowed to, but they really want to.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about that. So it seems like they still will not be able to wear their military uniforms. Right. I've also had a bunch of friends ask me if Meghan really is that pregnant to not be able to fly. And we can confirm that sources tell us she is due in late spring, early summer. So she is around 8-ish months. She is absolutely in no condition to be flying against doctor's orders. They do not want her giving birth on that COVID flight. So yes, she is taking a seat because she is pregnant, not because of any of the drama, but we still have William and Harry to look at. Let's move on to former Bachelor star Colton Underwood is here and queer for the right reasons. And we're finally starting to have a connection. We'd like to give our final rose to Colton, who bravely came out this week. Sarah Huron, why don't you tell us, you know, why this is so monumental for Bachelor Nation?
I mean, you guys, if you don't know Colton, we obviously met him on Becca Kufrin's season of The Bachelorette in 2018. Then he went to Paradise. He later admitted in his book that he pretty much went to Paradise to solidify being The Bachelor, which makes a lot of sense now because in this interview he did on GMA, he said being The Bachelor, he thought, you know, he was thanking God for making him The Bachelor because he thought this meant he was finally straight. He thought this was like the gift and his sign in the world to find a wife and have a, you know, the family he thought he wanted or needed in life. And so then he became The Bachelor. We saw him with Cassie. He jumped the fence. He, you know, did, I believe, have the most women quit on the season. And he also pretty much was fixated on Cassie the whole time. It was interesting, but they didn't get engaged, had a very messy breakup. We cannot forget that he was accused of harassment and stalking and placing a tracking device under her car. Not okay, no matter what. But we are at least getting some sort of apology from him, a little bit about that and an explanation. He said that he was trying so hard to, you know, make that relationship work and hold on to this idea that he was straight through his relationship with Cassie, which is unfair to Cassie, but you know, it's a whole other thing. But I mean, it was a pretty monumental announcement. We don't have any other past Bachelor or Bachelorettes besides Demi Burnett, who was on Colton's season. Actually, she is bisexual and we saw that on Paradise a little bit with her, but I don't know. People are conflicted though, because of all the stalking stuff. And some people are calling him to be the first gay Bachelor and other people are like, maybe not so much.
Well, I think that's an interesting thing that you said about it, because I was still like, Colton, can you tell us about the restraining order and the car tracking, just a little bit of that? But I think that he wasn't so much clinging on to Cassie as he was to the idea of getting married and having kids. And that was his sort of draw to that.
Which they cut that out of GMA and they only aired that part on Nightline. And I was like, that was pretty important quotes. And also confirming that he didn't tell Cassie, which Us Weekly broke that. And then he confirmed that, which is, I mean, I guess I assume they don't have contact since, you know, there was a restraining order filed, but I just can only imagine what she's thinking right now.
I'm waiting for her tell-all.
I'm
who's gonna tell all next, you guys? Meghan, Colton, they're all doing these televised interviews. It's such kind of a fun time to be alive.
It is a fun time to be alive. And, you know, not to diminish Colton's struggle at all, but when I met Colton, we had a really long conversation about spray tanning and whether you should use the Sparkle spray tan or the Matte Jergens Build-A-Glow medium to dark moisturizers. And while that's fine for like every straight guy should be able to bronze himself at his will, when he got into the glitter and knew the different products of the different shimmer and the way the light hit his sun, I raised an eyebrow. So I'm glad to hear that he is living his true authentic self and is bronzed and beautiful while doing it.
Yeah, I mean, the quotes were like an interesting mix of it really powerful and great and also just really sad. Like, you can tell how nervous he was, and he cited a lot about growing up Catholic and the Bible, but he now has, you know, found the support of his family and friends, and he's doing a Netflix show, which this confused me also, because part of me gets it, right? You're trying to take back the narrative. You are in the entertainment business. He clearly feels comfortable now speaking about this, which is great, but like, weren't you kind of burned by the reality show whole thing? Like, why now? Why again?
I think he's doing it because he's his real self now, so he can be himself on a reality show and actually make it real this time. And hopefully he's not just lining up dudes for him to fall in love with, and this is really just an exploratory little franchise for him.
Well, for a complete breakdown, of course, go listen to Us Weekly's Here for the Right Reasons podcast, which I'm sure will have a bonus episode out on Friday all about this.
I'm sure they will, and I do want all the in and outs. Go check that one out. So Rock the Vote began in 1990, and finally 31 years later, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is hearing the call with a Fast and the Furious run to the White House. Yes, Dwayne The Rock Johnson does believe he has a real chance at the White House and being president. A source tells us he believes one day that he could be president. Those around have always believed he could have a future in politics. He is personable, trustworthy, and a great decision maker. Friends think he is the perfect politician already. Dwayne sees himself as a unifier, someone who is popular with a large portion of the country. He thinks he could be a breath of fresh air that could help unify the country. Dwayne wants compassion, empathy, and hard work back into politics, but the source also says there is no date on when Dwayne will run. He is open to it, but there is no deadline or particular political race yet. So, you know, Meghan Markle and The Rock 2024, do we see a battle in? It is a strange world we are living in.
Oh my God, like, hard freaking pass. I like The Rock, but like, just no.
I think everyone likes The Rock, and you know, that's 50% of politics, but I no experience, just not well. Well, let's move on to a different sportsball player, Tiger Woods. He is in recovery. A source tells us that Tiger is in better spirits now than he was directly following the accident. He has seen progress in his recovery, and he is back at home, and he is hopeful about the future. Sarah Huron, Tiger Woods documentary watcher and possible Tiger Woods fan, are you happy that he could be back to the field, the course,
Travis? I did go to golf camp. I wouldn't say I'm a fan of Tiger Woods, you know, Godspeed, but I'm more team Elin. But yeah, I mean, obviously this whole thing was kind of interesting in the way that at first the cause of the crash was going to be like kept secret and under wraps. And then they just came out and said it was speed, I think, because it caused more speculation, similar to the Royals. Like, the way you go about things can make things worse. And I think them saying it was a secret made it people speculate, just like when this crash first happened. Oh, he has a history of back problems and substance abuse and stuff like that. But it was something with his speeding. It's still kind of sketchy to me.
It is.
But of course, I don't want him to be a good luck. Like, I'm not wishing him poorly at this point.
Yeah, sort of sounds like you are. But it's fine.
Like, if Rachel Yucatel has anything else to spill at this point, like, please do. But also, like, it's 2021. Maybe Tiger should just, like, stay home.
Maybe he should. Well, in words I definitely knew I would be saying again, someone from the MTV show My Super Sweet 16 is back in the news, and they're dating Superman. Henry Cavill shared an Instagram this week. Of course, he is the actor who plays Superman, and it is a fine dish, tall drink of water, smoke show, whatever you want to call it. He says, "This is me looking quietly confident shortly before my beautiful and brilliant love, Natalie, destroys me at chess." He wrote on Instagram on Saturday, along a photo of himself and girlfriend Natalie Viscusio. And it has been more than 16 years since the first episode of the MTV series aired, but you might remember her as a 15-year-old driving around in her dad's Bentleys and Ferraris in her $5 million house and just wanting to be the most popular girl in school. When she was on the show, she moved from Roswell to La Jolla and decided to throw a gigantic party to become popular. This party cost an estimated $450,000 and was attended by 100,000 guests. She arrived in a party limo. I mean, it's just all the great super sweet 16s, and I never thought that they would be dating an A-lister like this. Gwen, do you like this new relationship for him? I'm glad he's dating an age mate. He was dating like that 20-year-old college student for a while, so this seems much, much better.
I mean, it is better, but I'd like to date Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill's hot AF.
Yes, he is.
That's my comment. That's it.
Oh, well, she should have been on my super sweet 16, apparently, Gwen.
I love any excuse to talk about old school reality TV, especially something on MTV and my super sweet 16. Sweet 16.
There it is. Thank you. I knew you were going to do that. I'm so sorry, everyone. All right, Sarah, tell us about Erica Jane and the new Real Housewives of Beverly Hills trailer. I mean, we have been waiting for what seems like years for this, and it is finally almost here.
It's finally almost here, and the trailer was really, really good, you guys. It had that perfect mix of hinting the drama, the black screen with the words coming up, a little bit of fun. We got a little Scott Disick mention, which was exciting. Lisa Rinna on FaceTime with Amelia and her saying she was going out with Scott, and Kyle Richards saying he's too damn old and has three kids. Love that. But of course, all eyes are on Erica Jane, the pretty mess, and she is playing deny, deny, deny. In every clip, you see each woman kind of take their turn of questioning her. Dorit, iconic, bringing up orphans and widows and people who are the victims of these, this the crash, the families of the crash that they allegedly owe all this money
didn't
to.
Didn't pay.
Yeah, didn't pay millions of dollars. There's new court documents, by the way, that says his firm owes like $26 million to hundreds of people, which is freaking insane. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy. Thank you, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills co-stars, for questioning Erica. Garcelle, you can tell, gets in there. Gonna be really good. And Erica is definitely on edge, but she's you know, trying to do that Ice Queen thing where she's like, I didn't know, I didn't know. I mean, yeah. What are you most excited to see, Travis?
Oh my God. I think you hit the nail on the head, is that it's mainly all about Dorit, who just brings up the shadiest parts of everything and loves to throw it in people's face. And she's like, well, what about the widows? What about the children? You know, I really want those follow-ups, because Erica Jane is a master at notch poker face. You can't read a thing on that beautiful beat mug of hers. And I really want the follow-ups from Dorit. Gwen,
Kathy,
what were
Hilton,
your thoughts?
That was exciting too.
Oh my God, it was.
I'm just obsessed with Dorit, and I'm obsessed with Erica Jane. I can't wait for a new season, you guys.
Oh my God. It is so fantastic. And Lisa Rinna finally being back in the spotlight close to a Kardashian is the thirst I also needed from that show.
Yeah.
Because we like our Lisa Rinna thirsty and desperate and hungry for it, pushing for the spotlight, like the true showgirl that she is.
Crystal Minkoff, new housewife, looks like she really brings it. And Sutton getting her diamond, an upgrade, and they're fighting about leather pants. I mean, that's what we need in Beverly Hills.
I love Sutton as a cast member. She is the perfect Real Housewife. And if you haven't seen the trailer, go check it out. It is one of the best trailers I've seen from Housewives in a long time.
90210. Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I forgot that was a thing. Not 90210. One uh-oh is much better. Did you see that Britney Spears has finally addressed her mental health and concerns about her well-being, as well as confirming her new Netflix show? Britney shared a video on Monday, April 12th via Instagram from a mysterious Just a Touch of Rose project, she added as a caption, and she referenced the support she's received from followers. She said, "Happy to share, especially with the world that is empathetic and concerned with my life." She wrote of the new video, "What can I say? I'm flattered. The like go girl sign, women sign." She's like, "Here's to another beautiful summer of popsicles and sunbathing." This is a minute and a half video, which of course she was wearing one of her floral peasant tops. and it was unseen footage from a project she had privily teased on social media that some fans believe Just a Touch of Rose is related to an upcoming documentary about Britney that Netflix announced in February 2021, but it has not been confirmed, but we can pretty much confirm it's going down. And I think this is really the first time she has, you know, thanked fans for their empathy and reaching out to her. And I think we're seeing a new turning point for Britney being open about her conservatorship and her mental health issues. And I am very excited about this.
Every time they say the touch of
Touch of Rose.
Touch of Rose. I think of like that Seal song, A Kiss for a Rose.
Desert Rose. Olay, olay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always confused by this like secret project she's teasing. And I part of me feels like it doesn't exist. But I love Britney as always. And, you know, hashtag rooting for her. Team Britney. Free Britney.
Exactly. Team Britney forever.
I know you were excited, Gwen, to see the peasant tops. I know you just love when she sticks to her, what she knows.
Listen, she's got a style and she's not afraid to show it.
True that. Well, we have more Housewives news. Rahona Nashville, I think I'm calling it. Real Housewives of Nashville is possibly a project. There's a lot of different semi-famous women going around this. Sarah, tell us what is true and not true about all of these rumors.
I mean, as all good rumors start, all roads lead back to Jana Kramer of One Tree Hill and cheating husband fame. An old school favorite of Us Weekly and the podcast girl, Jana Kramer. So yeah. She posted an Instagram of her and her son filming like a confessional type thing. And it caused, this was like a week ago, it caused the internet to start buzzing and be like, what's going on? And sources have told Us Weekly that there is a housewife style show filming in Nashville that includes Luke Bryan's wife, Caroline, and Jana Kramer on the cast. It is still being shopped around and has not been picked up yet. Other country women who have prompted speculation about this, been rumored, posted Instagrams the same day about filming, include Jason Aldean's sister, Casey Wicks, who's married to Chuck Wicks, who's today Julianne Hough, Jimmy Allen's wife, Alexis, Tyler Rich's wife, and DJ Silver's wife, Jenna. So kind of an interesting group. I would say that Luke Bryan's wife and Jana Kramer are the biggest names there, which is why they're getting the attention. Jason Aldean's wife, Brittany, shut down that she was involved, but his sister is involved. So I mean, as much as I like don't need Jana Kramer on a reality show, I kind of do need Jana Kramer on a reality show.
She has been practicing for this moment her whole life, Sarah. She has been playing our tabloid fodder so well. She has drama and baggage and anxiety and truthfulness. I would love to see her on a reality show.
Like, can't you just see one of these women like bringing up like Mike cheating or like hearing a rumor about him DMing someone and like her like spiraling? Like, I just feel as though if I was Mike Costin, I'd be like, why would we ever open our lives even more? Like, we literally have a podcast and wrote a book and do it. Our whole Instagram is dedicated to like my cheating scandal. Like, now you're going to put me on freaking Housewives. Like, there's a 0% chance their marriage would make it through this, but like, whatever. Can't wait to watch.
Yeah, there is a lot of really bad track records of people whose marriage is not super stable going into their first season of Housewives and filing for divorce season 2 of Housewives. It is a trope that we have seen played out for a long time. Well, guys, I have now some sad news. No one likes Nick Jonas. At least that's what he says. Nick Jonas says it's most artists' dreams to be respected and awarded by their peers. In some ways, I don't feel like I have been. In others, I don't. I'm not going to assume that's because they don't get my work, but perhaps I need to push myself and get better and push the envelope. Nick Jonas also wondered if some of his fans don't love him because he's finally at the point where he's, quote, happy. I've had successes for quite a long time, he said. Anyone is entitled to their own opinion of my art or something I have done. If they think it's bad, I'd love to hear why. And not because they think I'm happy. That seems like a pretty asinine way to say that. This is after some fans were sort of upset with his new Superman album, and linked it to him being happy with Priyanka Chopra and like not in a toxic relationship that he wasn't happy with. Just sort of sad scene for Nick Jonas. I mean, he pretty, but he's simple.
This makes no sense because the last Jonas Brothers album, the first one they released when they were all married, was very well loved by the fans. The women were in all the music videos. People were loving the J sisters, whatever. Like, sorry, Nick Jonas, the album's just not that good.
You know, that's the real tea here, right? Is that he's like, it's definitely because I'm not happy. And it's like, no, true. It's because the album isn't that good, Spaceman. Sorry, buddy. Better luck next time, though. I really am rooting for you, Nick Jonas. Huge fan.
Do you know what time it is?
Oh my God, I can't wait.
It is time for Celebrity Birthday Boxing Mania. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, 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 we have two very exciting bouts today for Celebrity Birthday Boxing Mania. Some controversial ones. I'm not quite sure who I'm going to give these to. You'll see why in a second. All right, I'm going to start with Gwen. Gwen, Machine Gun Kelly will be 31. This week.
You're not giving me Machine Gun Kelly? Are you kidding?
No. I wanted the other person to stand a chance. And if he wins, you might have him in the final round. Machine Gun Kelly, 31, is facing off against Jack Nicholson, who is 83 this week.
Oh. I mean, this is so tough. This is so tough because Jack Nicholson is the coolest. However, I got to give Sarah a chance to referee a round with her great love. So I think that Jack Nicholson is just like, in actuality, a lover, not a fighter. And he would just like light up a stogie, step out of the ring and be like, you've got this, MGK.
Well, thank you, 83-year-old Jack Nicholson, for bowing out gracefully. Sarah, the next one is to you. Miss Gigi Hadid, heard of her, is 26 this week versus Kourtney Kardashian, who will be 42 this week.
Wow.
Tough one.
That is a tough one. I mean, I love Gigi. She's an icon. But I mean, I don't know what Kourtney is selling on Poosh, but it's working and she looks better than ever as she gets older. So I'm going to go with my girl Court.
True that. Congratulations, Kourtney Kardashian, at 42, looking better than she did at 22.
Literally.
Well, Sarah, the next round is to you, and not with fists, but I think this is a war of words and a double date with Travis Barker and Megan Fox. Kourtney Kardashian and Machine Gun Kelly have taken to the UFC ring and now they are fighting. Sarah, who is going to come out alive?
I can see it now. They're on that date with, she's with Travis, he's with Megan. Someone says something about maybe a Machine Gun Kelly insults Kim's song, Jam, Turn It Up. And Kourtney's feeling frisky and takes her into the ring. I mean, I don't know if you saw Machine Gun Kelly wear this like purple ombre suit the other day, but like it really was special to me. So for that reason alone, I will give him the win.
Ding, ding, ding. He's also coming out with his new line of unisex nail art, which I think is great. The little smiley face he posted.
Yeah.
I love him. And I know Sarah does even more. Congratulations to 31-year-old Machine Gun Kelly on, you know, getting Megan Fox and winning this round. So sorry, Pushy Kourtney Kardashian. That is all the time we have this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to write us a review, you know, leave us a 5-star review, please, nothing less, because we deserve it. Don't forget to check out usmagazine.com all week long for more celebrity news. Of course, head over to usmagazine.com/stylish if you want some fashion, and the Bachelor is Here for the Right Reasons podcast if that is your bag. We will be back next week with more celebrity news. Thanks, guys.